Welcome to the Bold Survivor Collective. I'm Contessa Aiken. This is the place where we take a stand. We rise up. We no longer allow trauma to be our voice or to be who we are. We pee into the wind. We run forward to our deepest desires, and we don't stop until we get there. I hope you enjoy this episode. Dive right on in. Today, we have the beautiful soul, Angela, here with us. She is a nationally recognized mindset and recovery coach. She helps people untangle suffering stages and activate freedom. So awesome. Can't wait to hear all about this. Angela partners with world-renowned trauma psychiatrists and practitioners to help her clients thrive. Thank you so much, Angela, for being here, for joining us, for sharing your wisdom and your insights. Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got here.
Well, so thank you so much for bringing me into your space. I really appreciate it. I come to this work from a very impaired, as I say, capacity to connect. I had early trauma and childhood abuse that really created a lot of suffering, disorganization, avoidance, terror, confusion. So I have worked decades to better understand this real human condition, to find internal safety, to access our voice, to unleash ourselves from that tangled system, as I call it, to really sink into our dynamic, purposeful movement. So I come to it intimately. I've been in the field for a long time. I've had the pleasure, and I've had also amazing doctors, sort of neuroscientists, helping me understand how to work with the body and the brain to recover from unresolved trauma.
I love it. Thank you so much for sharing openly and vulnerably with us.
Absolutely.
Necessary is a great example, right? If anybody wants to know what that looks like, you just witnessed it, right? So tell us a little bit about internal safety. What does it mean? Where does it come from? How does someone cultivate that? I know there's a lot of questions all at once, but I'm like, ready.
To me, it's the source of everything. If we don't know how to get internally safe within ourselves and our relationship capacity, restoring health, mental health, emotional health, creative health becomes really impossible. So what is internal safety? I think internal safety and how the nervous system and why science is so helpful to this process is it depersonalizes some of the trauma. You know, we do have this nervous system. It is powerfully engineered to protect us. At the same time, when we're not able to locate our needs and locate unconscious threats and verbalize them and access capacity to be with them so we can start to work with them in a resourceful way, that is how we restore trust and safety. What happens often with many of us is we don't know how to locate it. Yes. And when we don't know how to put a language of locating onto it, we move down into our lower brain, our limbic system, and our nervous system gets highly activated. And so we create trauma. We run towards things. We fight things. We run away from things. Or we just get so despairing, we shut down. And then the problem I find often is because those activating systems are so crowded and so congested, we start to go to town on what the hell is wrong with us. What the hell is wrong with us? Yeah. And we start picking ourselves apart and we start discharging and disposing of our value and we get more disorganized. So it's interrupting the noise. It's learning to get a system, a capacity to understand that we do not sort ourselves out and our tangled survival system. It's engineered to only survive. It is not engineered to unleash and thrive.
Right.
It's there for that purpose. And often my clients, and I'm guilty of this too, before I really understood how to work with the body and the brain, of trying to get it all worked out from a system that will never work it out.
It's not designed to work it out.
It's not designed. It's not engineered. It's not, right. That's not the function of that system.
Right.
So when we can start to bridge into our internal capacity and into our brains and into our bodies, I call it kind of a bridge, a stabilizing floor of okayness that allows us to interrupt the system, and locate the unconscious threat. We've got to locate what the threat is. Once we can locate the threat, then we can work to dissolve the threat. We can work to restore safety. We can work to differentiate between past experiences and present reality. We can start to pull out what feels real and what is real. Then we're pounding on our brain in a little bit of a different way, and we're sort of in that hallway where we're finding some new light switches, right? It's a little awkward, but that's the muscular capacity that we need, because once we clear space from that system, I always say, then we get access to this creative system. We get present to build and claim our lives, our relationships, our experiences from a completely new system. And that system is as powerful as this one. We just often don't know how to access it.
Or trust it, right? Because we're still looking for the light switches and we're like, wait a minute, are we even doing it right? Or can I trust what's happening right now? And am I doing it right? And then you're basically then going back into that limbic system when you start to create doubt around it, right?
That's right. The brain really needs certainty, right? It needs certainty. And so we want to meet that need in a very resourceful way. Often we're trying to get certainty met over here with this disorganized system. Get me safe. Let me stay here and try to get safe. But actually, the more we can meet certainty with meeting and harmonizing with our needs to love and connect, our needs for significance, our needs to play and build some experience here, when we can start to gather a new organizing structure that supports pleasure, unwinding ourselves into healthy, restorative pleasure, then we're really supporting our brain in moving towards new neural pathways and connections that become very restorative and very healing to our overall process. Because you're right, when we don't sort of know, when we're in that, I don't know. And my clients really, I just say we have to become available to not engage that. I don't know. Well, what if you did know? Let's figure it out. Let's get inspired here. This is that creative part where we have to get really strong so that we do start to know what our needs are. We do start to know what it feels like to unleash ourselves and stand in visibility and assert ourselves and claim our experiences in a new way. We need space to figure that out. And once we gather certainty with that directional movement, we start to mobilize towards it.
Whenever someone is, say, stuck in survival mode in that limbic brain system, right? This is all great information, but the question that comes to my mind is, where do you even get started? How do you stop that process and move into this creative space and look for the light switch with certainty?
It's good. It's such, so good. I always say you can't do my untangle method when you're in the trigger, right?
Right.
And we are the only mammals who don't know how to discharge trauma.
Yes.
We need to learn how to discharge trauma. So we kind of go to the somatic practitioners and the therapists go to the animal world. They bring in the sense that when we are in this activated state of survival, when we feel we are being chased by the tiger, right? Mm-hmm. Where it feels that way in our body, or we're so triggered by something and we have no flooring underneath us. We've got to work with the body here. That discharging needs to happen from the body. So the shaking like an animal, if you watch the deer almost gets killed and then it shakes its nervous system. It releases and discharges the trauma because we've got to get present. So bringing in your sensorial world, your smells, going for a walk, smelling lavender, smelling the leaves, hearing the birds, hearing as far out as you can hear, bringing sun to touch your skin, actually working sensorial with your environment is the way back to presence. It's the way to safety.
So I love that you said that. When I asked the question, I was thinking, gosh, this is going to be like a 10-step process, right? But really, in reality, all that's necessary is for you to use your body in a new and different way, in a new environment, if I heard it correctly, not not in the environment where you're stuck in that entanglement, right?
Like, there you go. Because that's the one where we usually want to suck our thumb, cover up, and hold it, tuck into a ball, and just sort of rock, right? Yes. We have to, ladies, you know, whoever's joining us, we have to shake this body out.
Yes.
We've got to embrace this intelligence of these other animals that were our ancestors, that we can discharge trauma just like they can. And it requires that we get moving and present with our sensorial life here is the way back.
So when someone does get to this place where they're able to shake it out and connect with this animal spirit and the right and this movement, if you will, in a new environment, how do you then go from, okay, I've discharged the trauma,
to
now I'm using this new creative space and I'm looking for a light switch to turn on something new for me,
so
I can say, start telling myself the truth or recognizing the difference between what I feel and what's real?
Yes. Thank you. Good question. So I take people, I did do a recording, a 30-minute workshop on exactly how to go through those steps, but I'll simplify it right now, okay?
Okay.
Because that is critical. We have to get the brain and the body safe presently to then start to gather the learning, because that tangled system is holding emotional learning. And we've got to locate the emotional learning to unlock the spell, to unlock it. And when we can locate that unconscious threat. So, for example, I take people through the exercise. I was in an anorexic marriage for a long time because that was my safety. I was going to just withhold pleasure and just survive and be a martyr. And then I was the good girl and I wouldn't have to feel the violence of connection, right? So I left that marriage about 9 years ago and I started to date my current husband. And so I was wanting to have sex and I was swallowed by sexual trauma and triggers. It was just, I felt like I was just in the dark oceans, right? Mm-hmm. And so I had to locate, I had to do the work. I had to literally do all the work I'm saying to do to get safe presently so then I could identify, what is this trigger? What is this holding? What am I bonding to? I'm bonding to a really disorganized part of myself that had this, you know, confused wiring, if you want to see it that way. And then when we can locate that part of us, I always say it's so helpful to see that we have different parts because usually we think we just have this part.
Yes.
This is our only part and it's just going to color our whole life. Uh-uh. But when we can pull away from it, I can locate that this part of me was really young and really tangled. And this part of me believed that if my husband looked at porn or if my husband looked at another girl, I was going to die.
Yeah.
I was going to die. And this goes back to my particular survival construct of my father incesting me for a long time. And then when I said, hey, you know, we're done at 12, you know, he kicked me out. He threw me out of the house. So my survival was completely interrupted, right, from this trauma. And so I had sort of been trauma bonding with it, with my husband in this real unhealthy way. But the minute I could locate it and say, oh my God, she's the 6-year-old. Mm-hmm. I'm a woman here.
Yes.
I can work with this. It's called a juxtaposition in neuroscience. If we can find the opposite, if he does this, then this is going to happen.
Right.
We can start to discharge the emotional learning and we can start to build capacity to have some new thinking and new feelings and new experiences. And then I can bring myself to that table, right? Which is, honey, you know, this really triggers me. I'm wondering if we could find some agreements around that. And this is how you get a healthy relationship, is you get space, you bring yourself to it, you discharge the spell, you integrate this emotional learning, and then you start to attune to what are your present needs? What are your needs today that will help you want to have a healthy relationship here, thrive sexually? I want to have sex. I went way too long not having sex.
Yeah.
And then you work your agreements around those needs and you invite a partner inside that sacred intimacy. And it's not demanding, it's not shaming, it's not taking his inventory, it's not making him feel bad, it's none of that stuff.
Right.
It's real invitation into intimacy. And can you meet me here? Does that work for you? Or, you know, where is our dance? How can we harmonize here together? And that's what we did. And it was incredible. And once I did the untangle method in that trauma, it's just become a different, it's become something else now. I've rewritten it into a new experience.
Right. I love that you tied all that together, right? Because that was going to be my next question. But it sounds like when it comes to attracting love into your life, excuse me, and having a healthy relationship, the first place to start is with that entanglement of your trauma, right? And then moving into this space of emotional learning and then integrating that into your whole self. And
yes.
After you do that, you can then invite somebody else into that space and give a voice to what it is that you need and honor what it is that you need and bring that together with somebody else, which is a healthy way versus, gosh, I can imagine when I first, you know, got married and I was just completely, you know, in limbic system mode and trauma mode still. And I was just trigger, trigger, trigger. And I would just shut down, isolate and close off. And then he was left wondering what the hell just happened, right?
Totally.
So yes. We've gone through a lot of learning around that. So I love that you tied all that together. And internal safety, it sounds like really is kind of a foundational piece that is necessary to begin the untanglement. Is that right?
It is. I would say absolutely. Getting safe to then bring in your learning brain, because our learning brain is not even available
right
when we're not feeling safe. We are in defense, reactivity, bonding with that, with those lower levels in our system. So it's required to get presence and safety and feel safe, whoever you're working with, feel safe in the space of working your stuff out.
Right. Right. Awesome. If you were to tie up our time together here and put a pretty bow on top mm-hmm. of that, what is a final thought or the biggest takeaway you want people to walk away with today?
I think that when you're triggered from sexual trauma, it feels so isolating, so alone, so terrifying, that my hope is I'm somehow humanizing it. There's a humanizing, and we're, you know, so many of us get hijacked into feeling so bad for so long, for decades. Mm-hmm. That our desired states and our needs become just like a wasteland. We just have no permission or ideas of how to. Yeah. So my big hope for anyone who's maybe still in the war zone with it is that one, it's a part of you. It's not all of you. It's a system in you that's reacting to an old malfunction.
Yep.
And that if you could just know that there's a whole new room to really open up to and to bring yourself into, to touch, to taste, to flavor, to feel, that you deserve to have pleasure and love and connection capacity, that would be my hope, that you just have a little bit of, oh, I get to experience this in a new way. I don't have to be at war anymore.
Right. Thank you for that. Thank you for listening to this episode on the Bold Survivor Collective. I hope you enjoyed it. Make sure to subscribe to this podcast if you want more, and join us over on the Facebook group, the Bold Survivor Collective, where we keep the conversation going and we keep on rising up and thriving, y'all. Bye.